As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind, it's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Welcome to Love My Renovation Project. We're here to discuss all things regarding renovation projects with either the FHA 203K, the Home Style Renovation Mortgage, and the VA Renovation Loan products, to name a few. If you've heard of some other one, be sure and share them with us. We'd love to have you here. And if you want to be part of the show today, call us at 888-627-6008, toll free. Ask your renovation questions. Well, most... All 203Ks go off without a hitch, but from time to time, you may find yourself with nobody to talk to, nobody on your side is listening, and you feel free to give us a call. Go to our website, 203k911.com, send us a private message there, or you can just call into the show and ask your questions here online. Anything we do like that over the phone is no cost to you, and the initial call, if you call in privately to the or send us a message via 203k911.com, most of the time we can help you without any charges at all. Most of the time it comes down to a failure to communicate. People just get so mad at their contractor, and the contractor so mad at the homeowner that they no longer communicate. And those kind of things are typically easily fixed at no cost, because once you realize what's going on and that that's normal, you get back, open that communication line again, and you should be fine. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss in more specific terms, feel free to go to, and you don't want to do it on the radio, then go to 203konline.com, scroll down to the messages center, and send us a message. Excuse me. Last week we didn't quite finish, so let's wrap up from where we were last Sunday. One of the services our company provides to you, if you go to 203konline.com, or for that matter, any of our other websites, is that we place orders for some of our Linda clients with our crews across the nation. If you're a consultant and you'd like to be part of that referral service, that's certainly possible. You'll need to send us a sample of your finished work write-up. Be sure and label the email so I know what it is you're sending me a sample for. I must have got 15 samples last week when most of them didn't say why I was getting these samples until luckily it was an email and I could respond back and found out that they were wanting to look more into our referral program and how to be part of it. So the work write-up actually includes a page that we call the work write-up. We were talking about what does a consultant do for their money last week. And that work write-up page actually has three major paragraphs. Paragraph one is what we saw when we went out to the job site. We met the homeowner there. We walked through the property. We saw a house with a slab foundation, stucco exterior walls or vinyl siding, whatever it might be, composition shingle roof. The siding was in average overall condition. The roof may have been near the end of its useful life and needs to be replaced. But all that goes there. And then we have a bunch of disclaimers and disclosures like mold and so forth. And believe it or not, HUD required all the consultants to be members of a home inspector license. If licensing is required in your state, you have to be licensed in that state as a home inspector. And then they give us rules that we have to follow that violate the home inspector's standards of practice on each and every one we do. So we have to disclose in the disclosures that what we're giving you is not a home inspection. So why have us join the home inspector's licensing if we're not going to be doing home inspections? It's just bizarre. But we have to live with it regardless. Secondly, the second paragraph is for the scope of work paragraph, where we give you a list of all the items that are going to be repaired. What are we going to do to that house? It's the scope of work paragraph where we talk about how long the house is going to be uninhabitable. Now, we don't tell the lender how many mortgage payments to include, but if we tell them that this house is uninhabitable for 4 months, they can put in 4 or 5 mortgage payments along with the construction costs and protect that homeowner so they're not paying a mortgage and a rent somewhere else at the same time for those same months. It also, thirdly, the synopsis is on that page, and the synopsis describes all of your costs and fees associated with your project in a brief paragraph. That synopsis, we also provide the most recent consultant certification. This is supposed to be with every 203K, where it certifies just who the consultant is and he's properly licensed and so forth. Over the years, we've completed many, many 203K projects, and we learn from most of them. Believe it or not, after 24 years in this business, we still see some things like that are not typical. Okay. Most of them we've seen before, but quite a few of them. Each year we learn new things where somebody's trying to get around an issue, and they're quite innovative, actually, sometimes. One of the things that we have created in our scope of work, or SOR, scope of renovation, in Section 35 notes, the reason we did this is the contractor doesn't see all the other paperwork that the homeowner sees and has to sign. In those other pages, like the borrower's acknowledgement and the borrower's acceptance of conditions, there are conditions in there that refer to the contractor and how he has to get out there and get started within 30 days of closing the escrow. So those notes we have added. One of them is contact access to make your inspection to the subject property for bid purposes is, and we fill in the realtor or borrower or both of their phone and names so they can get contacted to make that inspection with the contractor and walk through the home with the bid specs in their hands. The second note we put in there is the contractor to provide a copy of their local city or county business license prior to close of escrow. So HUD is a real stickler. They want to see that you are properly licensed in that city or locality. So rather than wait till the very end and find out you're not, we put it up right in the bid specifications of repair. Okay. Now the contractor has adequate notice to obtain a permit if he doesn't have one. Excuse me, a license, not a permit. Number three, note three, we put in there contractor to verify all quantities and measurements in the field. When we write a scope of work, we do pretty good. We do our due diligence and we put in what we think is the right amount of lineal foot, square foot, whatever it might be, number of windows. But once in a while, we could be off. But we're laying it right back on the contractor. You know, if we tell you to replace all the windows in the house and we count 10 and you count 11, then change it to 11 and bid what you counted. Now, we'll verify it when we go out there to do the draw inspection. You're not going to get paid for that 11th window if it doesn't exist. The note 4 that we have is contractor understands there is no upfront money for 203K projects. He or she must provide some work and get reimbursed with the draw inspection. Our radio show seems to be being observed from the sky today. I don't know if you can hear that helicopter flying above us, but hopefully it's nothing more than a traffic helicopter. But we let the contractor know up front that there's no upfront money. That means that you have to use your own money as a contractor and your good credit to obtain materials, get started on the job, pay for a couple of weeks your payroll. If you don't have the money to do that, you shouldn't be doing FHA 203Ks or homestyle loans. We had a project that was a $300,000 project. The contractor was willing to carry $30,000 on the project, which he said, I need 10 draws of $30,000 to maintain my cash flow and maintain run my business the way it should be run. That particular lender is no longer in business, but they wouldn't make 10 draws. And today the guideline clearly states no more than 5 draws are allowed. What that really means is no more than 5 draws will be built into the loan. If you need 6, 7, 8, 10, 15, you can still do that many draws. But this contractor wanted it in writing. The lender wasn't willing to do that. And that deal did not go. The guy just used, the homeowner used his own money and built the house without a loan altogether. The loan would have been nice. He would have had his cash flow for his businesses. But he had plenty of cash in the bank to take care of that $300,000 project. Note 5. Again, this is to a contractor. These are all in line item 35 of the bid specifications. So right above where the contractor signs. So they can't say they weren't told, but note 5 is provide all permits required for this project and have on display at the first inspection to avoid delays in obtaining your first draw payment. The final signed-off permit will be required prior to releasing the final draw. Though they cannot be included as a bid specification line item, they should be identified so the lender can put them where they do belong on the maximum mortgage worksheet, and it'll pop up on the recap of the subtotal as well. Now, I've got some lenders on the East Coast that demand that we put the permits in line item 35. And we won't do it. Actually, I got a call several years ago from HUD knowing that I was a trainer. And I said, man, get the word out, because if you put permits there in the line item, it's against the guideline, number one. Number two, we also miss it. We end up quite often putting those in the where they belong on the maximum mortgage worksheet too, and funding it double, funding twice as much as we need, because when the lender requires it in the bid spec and then puts it on the maximum mortgage worksheet, they're actually putting it in twice. So we don't want to do that. Note number 6, and we only have 8. But on number 6 says, provide any and all architectural and engineering drawings and reports necessary to complete the project. Though they can't be a line item in the bid request, please provide the cost for those items for the maximum mortgage worksheet. That way, these items can be dispersed at 100% without a 10% holdback with a paid receipt. Note number 7, our inspection is limited to items that are visible at the time of the inspection and not behind walls, not concealed by stored items or household items. I'm going to save the final note for after our break. We're going to take about a 1 minute break or so, and we'll be right back with you. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. If you're a consultant, feel free. Tell us some of your stories. We're happy to hear them, happy to air them with you. So we'll be right back after this short break.
Two 503K911.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now, and let's fix your problems.
Right back with you now. Thank you. Love My Renovation Project. Brought to you today from Las Vegas, Nevada, where it's 78 degrees, beautiful weather out here. Sunny, we go swimming every morning. It's just wonderful. All right, the last note that we put in Section 35 for our contractors so that they don't, I can't say that they weren't told, is our note number 8. The note number 8 came to us from one of our associates in Southern California, Aaron Baldwin. We do like to give credit where credit is due. He ran this by his attorney, got it the wording the way they wanted it. They felt it was the most effective. And note number 8 now says, the contractor nor homeowner have the right to change these specifications of repairs without prior written authorization from the lender and the consultant. By signing below, the contractor and homeowner and their agent certify and agree that they have read these specifications of repairs in its entirety and hereby agree to its terms, conditions, procedures, policies, dimensions, and pricing, and hereby release the consultant from liability from any possible future damages that may occur. That says it all. So many times we get into a construction project before we started doing this, and the contractor would say, well, no one ever told me I had to use my own money. Yeah, we did. It's in your homeowner contractor agreement. It's also here in the bid specs now. I didn't understand it. I said, well, yeah, you did, because you asked me about it then, and I told you the same thing then. I took over a job several years ago, many years ago, about maybe 8 or 10 years ago, a job up in El Dorado, California. When I got there, the contractor's supplier had just pulled out of the driveway as I pulled in, and he had $50,000 worth of materials that were just delivered to the site. And I asked him to fill out column 3 of the draw request so I knew what it was he was asking for, and he filled it out. But all he was asking for was material costs. And I said, sir, I don't know who told you could get paid up front for materials, but you can't. We only pay for materials that are installed. And he literally broke down and started crying. He said, I have expended all my cash. I don't have money to pay payroll to install this stuff because I was told by the consultant that was fired that I could get paid for materials once the materials was on site. I said, well, he told you wrong, but let me find out if there's anything we could do. At that time, the lender was Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo didn't do anything wrong. Their consultant that they were using had. And apparently there was a lawsuit going between them, between the contractor or the home consultant and the lender. So I knew that and I used that to help this client. We asked permission, would you, since this was a consultant issue and that consultant's in a court action with you, wouldn't it be a good idea to acknowledge that he made a mistake and helped the guy get through this? And Wells Fargo came up to the plate and knocked a home run. They helped this guy. He didn't have to file bankruptcy, which was not a good thing for anybody. And we got that house finished in lightning speed because he had all the materials there. Now all he had to do is install it. So it turned out that a bad thing turned into a good thing for everybody. So we're glad to see that happen. Some of the lenders are very, very good at helping people through hard times. If you don't ask for help, you will not get help. But sometimes asking will get you the help you need. We've got another project that's going on 2 years right now. And turns out that there was a lot of lying going on in the beginning stages. The contractor was my father-in-law, or actually my mother's, not my mother's, but somebody's mother's, the borrower's mother's boyfriend. And he and the mother dissolved their relationship and went on his way, leaving her with a job and no contractor. So that's one of the reasons the consultant creates his own bid, independent of the contractor's bid. And those bids should be pretty close. In most cases, they are. What happens if your contractor walks is we have to bring another contractor in and finish the job. So by us doing an independent bid and making sure we have enough money in that project, well, let's say I bid a job at $100,000 and their contractor bids it at $90,000. Well, that's fine. Let's fund the $100,000 and the contingency based on $100,000, and we'll only pay the contractor $90,000, and the rest of the money will pay down on the mortgage. If you're going to refinance when the construction is finished, that's fine. You can certainly do that, and it'll look like on paper that you paid down on the mortgage, and that'll help you get the refi that you need. Oh, let's see. We did a talk not too long ago. I did a talk. I was guest speaker at Merritt College in Oakland, California. And we do this. We do it all over the country, by the way. So if you need us to do some speaking on your behalf or at schools, particularly at schools of where realtors are learning finance and want to talk about the FHA 203K, the home style, and the VA renovation loan products, feel free to ask us. If we can't make it personally, we'll have one of our crew out there to do just that for you. And no cost. There's no cost associated with this. We're happy to give back to the communities where we work. But at the last talk, we talked about making offers on properties that are fixers and how people with cash, like investors, and I used to was one, so the investors comes in with all cash and says, look, I'll give you an all-cash deal. We'll close escrow in 10 or 15 days, and you don't take that offer. And the realtor has already brought an offer, and it's for more money than the investor was offering, and a 30-day close or a 45-day close. What you have to realize is the investor is using a technique that is slightly deceptive. And I say that because the investor says, I'm going to give you all cash. Hello? Every sale and since the beginning of time, every real estate sale is all cash to the seller. It just doesn't come in cash all from the buyer. It comes from a loan proceeds and a down payment from the borrower. But it's still all cash, just the same as the investors, and maybe 30-day longer closing. So let's say the investor closes in 10 days. The homeowner, which is better for the community in many cases, that's buying the house is going to take 40 days to close escrow. So for an extra 30 days, point out that your seller is going to get an additional $30,000. That's $1,000 a day by waiting 30 more days. When's the last time you made $30,000 in 30 days? That homeowner in most of the areas we work in didn't make $30,000 a month. So it's been a long time and maybe never. Anyway, what we suggest is that the lender put this on their letterhead. And we call it our all-cash to seller offer letter. If it's a 203K, then we start it with the 203K all cash to seller offer letter. Quite often the sellers don't realize that every sale is an all cash deal. And when they hear all cash, our ears pick up. So how do you combat that situation? It's quite easy. And we find that we're keeping these deals in the realtor's client, the home buyer that's going to live in that house. That keeps the community stronger. And that letter goes something like this on the buyer or the lender's letterhead. Dear seller, the loan the buyers have applied for is an FHA purchase, whereby the buyer will take full responsibility for all known defects and required renovation to the home being purchased. Now, of course, you change that to fourplex, threeplex, duplex, whatever it is, but the FHA 203K is a loan that allows for all necessary work to be completed after the loan closes. That's important. So they're not waiting for the work to be done. They're just waiting for the loan to close. But we also, the buyer will be obtaining contractor bids during the initial inspection phase of this contract for the purpose of determining the amount of renovation necessary to bring this home to FHA minimum property standards. At this time, we anticipate or estimate 30 to 40 days for underwriting and close of escrow. We are an approved FHA 203K lender since, whenever you're approved, since 1942, whatever, and use a 203K consultant to facilitate a quick close for you. For questions regarding this agreement or the FHA 203K, please call Doug Jones at and leave the phone number of that loan officer. So in doing this, you're putting that seller at ease. Then you have your full-blown contract right behind this. Now, it can be on the realtor's letterhead and refer back to the realtor to explain the program. Either way, it's crucial that the seller understands that your offer is also an all-cash-to-seller offer. Okay, getting into some of the things that happened this week. Yesterday, I got a phone call. It was quite interesting. A consultant indicated he may be involved in a lawsuit. It looks like that might have been the plan all the way along. This was a home-style renovation mortgage. And as you know, that with a home style, you can pick and choose a lot of the repairs you're going to make. But if I walk into a house and I see dry rot, I'm going to call for a pest report. As a consultant, even for a Fannie Mae, I want to see the pest report. I want full disclosure to my client. Now, this was done a little differently. The consultant didn't insist on a pest report or WDO, wood destroying organisms, report. Some states, I believe, require them anyway, whether you want them or not. But this was a home style, and there was obvious damage and substantial dry rot and pest damage. There was a deck that had damage to the floorboards as well. The consultant and the contractor both recommended a termite report and to include those repairs as part of the scope of work. The realtor slash broker refused. Said, no, I just want to do the bare minimum to bring this house safe to live in. Okay. So the buyer and the realtor and a broker, the buyer is a realtor and a broker of her company, denied the additional work in the scope of work. Denied getting a pest report. She wouldn't allow it. No, you cannot get a pest report on this house. The project started. During the course of construction, the borrower asked if the contractor could replace the boards on the surface of the deck. Not the structural, just the top surface of the boards on the deck. He agreed and, with a change order, completed that resurfacing of the deck boards. It was also noted at that time that the deck really should have additional supports underneath it as the spans on the stringers had been spaced too far apart when they originally built that deck. This deck was never part of the original scope and therefore not inspected per the demand and requirement of the owner. No, I don't want to have that looked at. I don't want a termite report. Why? I think she may have had a termite report, and that's where I would be looking. I would demand to see that termite report if she had one, and search for it if she didn't, because I think she's hiding it. She knew about it the whole time. But this is a fair warning to all consultants, particularly 203K consultants. You don't call for a termite report because the lender or the owner doesn't want you to. You call for it because it's called for in the guideline. There's supposed to be a clearance at the end of the report on an FHA project, and it just makes good sense on any renovation project. Get the termite report. Even if you don't fix all those things, it is nice to know what they are and how much they're going to cost so that you're informing your client of everything, a full disclosure of what's wrong with that home. Not getting that, could it be considered gross negligence? I don't believe so. When you offer to do it, suggest it should be done, recommend it be done, everything very strongly, I don't see where that's gross negligence. I think you did your part. But some judge may disagree, and that's the problem. Who determines gross negligence? I don't see where this was willful misconduct. So gross negligence is the only thing that the broker has to stand on, in my opinion. Anyway, this is all part of our due diligence. I recommend you get a termite report or a WDO report on every home you do. Whether or not you incorporate all those repairs, you certainly can incorporate the major ones, the ones that might affect the health and safety of the people living there. We had another similar one call on Friday. Same thing. We all do the best job possible. We can't see through walls. We can't tell what's behind the wall. So we do the best we can. And you're doing that. You're not supposed to have these things happen. But once in a while, you get a client that may have planned that right from the beginning. So anyway, I just see the clock is getting ahead of us. So we're going to take a short break again and be right back with you. If you want to call and be part of the program, call 888-627-6008. Toll free and be part of the show. We'll be right back after this short break.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com, and you'll be glad you did.
Told you, welcome back. I told you it's going to be a short break. Okay, that other call we got on Friday was a consultant on the East Coast was sued, and they found the consultant agreement where it says hold harmless clause that the judge threw it out, said it was too strongly written in favor of the consultant. HUD says they wrote it and guarantee that it will be enforceable in all 50 states. So don't disregard what HUD says. When you have somebody sue you and under that provision where you're hold harmless, they find that provision too strongly written against the home buyer and for the consultant, challenge it. Have them, let them know that HUD will bring 17 lawyers against them if they find that that's not enforceable in any state. then HUD will fight that for you. In 1994, I was in court four times. That was the year they created consultants. Even though I talked to a few consultants that say they've been doing this for 40 years, they were created 24 years ago. I had four times I got told by four different judges that clause, they didn't think it was enforceable. I shared with each of them that HUD says it is enforceable in all 50 states and that they would bring 17 lawyers against any judge that found that not to be so and straighten the judge out. I said that with all due respect to the judge. All four judges sent me a private note with I won the cases in all four times. They all sent me a note and asked me to call them anytime between 12 noon and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 days a week, any day. And every one of them said the same thing, and that is, we talked to HUD, and you're right. They told us exactly what you did, that it is enforceable, and that they would bring 17 lawyers and come after me if I found it otherwise. So don't shortchange HUD. They are the 10,000-pound gorilla in the room, and they do enforce with force all of their guidelines. Now, this is important. We're going to start talking here. We may run out of time before we get all the way through this, but what is a consultation? What should I expect? We get this call all the time. I get lenders, new loan officers in particular, and old ones alike that call me up and say, just what are we paying the consultant fee for? On this project is $100,000. We're paying you $1,000 plus mileage. And we tell them what the mileage is. And they say, what is it we're going to get? Well, we have a sample that we're happy to send to anybody that would like to see it. So if you go to 203konline.com, scroll down to the PDFs. If you don't see the sample there, you do see a message center. So send me a message. Tell me you'd like a sample of the 203K finished work write-up. And we'll be happy to send that to you so you can see and have something in your hand to show a client just what they're going to get for their money. I did a job years ago for an architect who was moving into California. He bought a house in the Oakland Hills, and he was his own architect because he knew how to do that, and he created his own plans, told us what he wanted to do. And his job, the fee I charged him for the work that he was having us do was $2,400. He wrote the check without even questioning what it was I'm going to get for my money. But the fun part was that 5 days later, I handed him the finished product, a scope of work, my bid, along with the specifications of repairs, and he was blown away. He said, I had no idea what I was giving you $2,400 for. This is amazing. I had no idea that you were going to go to this detail on my little project. Well, it wasn't a little project. It was $240,000 worth of work. And I think the house cost him about $500. So it was a pretty substantial project. But he was shocked as an architect in the business to see the detail that we were able to do for only $2,400. And that's important to know. So if you ask 1,800 different consultants around the country, just what is it? What constitutes a consultation? What constitutes a consultation? You're going to find there's about 1,500 different answers. What I'm about to explain to you is what the Mike Young team has determined to be the best path to a successful consultation. When 203K consultants were written into the guideline in 1994, a man by the name of Ken Crandall at HUD became one of my closest allies with the 203K. When he started, I said, well, what do we do? What are we supposed to do? And Ken said, I don't have a clue. HUD doesn't have a clue. None of us have a clue. And I said, well, how can I teach someone to do what nobody has a clue is supposed to do? That doesn't make sense. See, I came from a sheet metal manufacturing background. We had over 100 employees. And if I just went to work every day and said, go do something, build something, and we'll try to sell it, that wouldn't work. I give each employee a list of things to do all day long, every hour. This is what you do hour one. This is what you do hour two. Very much like McDonald's and Burger King give you a list. Each person in that company gets a list of all the things they should do each hour of every day. So that there's no doubt. And that's the way you do a consultation, too. You don't just say, do whatever you feel like and we'll look at it. But HUD said, let's do that. Let's figure out what it is we're going to do by letting, for 1 year, we'll let everybody do whatever they want to do. And at the end of that year, we will analyze what everybody's doing and take the best from everybody. And I told Ken, I said, I can't work that way. I'm going to create what I think should be done and how it should be done and why it should be done. And he said, fine, knock yourself out. So that's what we did. And in doing so, I became the first for-profit company ever put on a HUD website. Ta-da, 1995. We stayed there till 1998 when I got a call from HUD because some other trainer complained that I was on their HUD website. And they took it down because they found out that I was a for-profit company and not a non-profit company. So, but for 3 years, we were on there, and it was fun. When HUD asked me to take it down, I said, why? I explained that I sent them a copy of the webpage that was up there, and HUD's response was, oh, my God, you really were up there. I said, yes, I was. And it's because we decided what it took to be a consultant, what a consultant should do to earn that title, if you will. Let's see. Okay. First thing we do, the consultation typically takes place at the time of the first inspection. We meet the homeowner at the site. We always invite the lender or loan officer to be there if they want to. Never seen one, and they want to be there to see what goes on. We also ask that they be the bird on the wall or the fly on the wall and don't interrupt too much. Quite often a loan officer will say, well, I'll have the contractor meet you there too. No, I prefer not. I'm making an independent bid, and I don't want to spend an hour or a half an hour or 1 minute answering contractor questions like, hey, am I going to get paid? I'm going to give him a letter that tells him how he's going to get paid. And he can read the letter and then ask his questions privately, but not at the time of the consultation. Consultation typically takes us 1.5 hours. That includes about 20 to 30 minutes going over all the paperwork with the homeowner. That's what we do. Our software is set up to do that. We print all these forms that the loan officer is required by guideline to hand the homeowner in time for them to read and understand prior to close of escrow. My guess is that maybe 10% of the loan officers actually do that. So take heed, all of you people that are out there that are in charge of renovation in your company, if you're not giving those paperwork out, you should be using the Mike Young team so that we get that done for you. We have your back in that regard, but we don't just hand them a stack of papers and say, here, read these and understand. We actually go over those paperwork with the client and emphasize the items that are most commonly misunderstood. Okay. We don't want to rely on the loan officer to do anything in that regard. It's too important a task to hope it gets done. We want to insist and be sure it gets done, so we do it ourselves on their behalf. Once in a while, they say, oh, these are the same papers my lender gave me last week. And I ask, did he go over all the papers with you? No, he just said, read them. I said, okay, well, what I'd like to do is take a few minutes and go over the things that are most commonly misunderstood. All right. What are those kind of things? Okay. Well, we bring out the information page first off, which is something that we created for our use. The information page, we just want to make sure that the spelling of everybody's name is wrong. We just had the third rewrite on a property. The third rewrite. They made changes three times. And the third time was, oh, could you change the spelling of the borrower's name? I said, oh, you mean it's not spelled like you spelled it on the order form? Oh, my God. Did we spell it wrong there? I said, well, we just copied and pasted it. So if it's wrong, it's not our mistake, but we're happy to fix it. But we take that out there on the first meeting and try to get it fixed right there if it's wrong. Okay. Anyway, hey, this thing is going, today is flying by. I'm having fun, by the way. I hope you are. We're going to be right back. We got to take our last break of the day, and then we'll be right back with you, and we'll get back into this. So you want to be part of the show? You can always call us at 888-627-6008 and be part of the show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203k911.com. We know what to do.
We did take a short break. I appreciate it. If you want to be part of the show, as always, call us at 888-627-6008. Don't be shy. If you have questions, you can bet that there's at least 200 or 300 other people on the radio listening to us that have the same question, just didn't have the guts to ask it, so feel free. Nobody's going to try to embarrass you. That's not the way we work. We like to enhance the people we work with, make sure they're educated as well. Any question that's a dumb question, the only question that's a dumb question is the one that doesn't get asked. So if you have a question, no matter how elementary it might be, feel free to ask it. We're not going to belittle you for that, because if you don't know, then you need to know, and asking the question is the best way to figure that out. Okay, so the second item we go over with on a consultation is the consultant agreement, which some of the newer trainers are calling an acceptable fees agreement. Well, HUD called it a HUD consultant agreement, so we continue to call it that after all these years. On every renovation loan, a consultant agreement is required. Okay, you have to tell the people what it is you're going to do for your money in writing. And you're going to have to tell them the rules for what you're going to do. So that's important. So we go through the walkthrough. So when we talk about that consultant agreement, the first thing is what are we going to do for our money? The second thing is today's a walkthrough. All right. And during that walkthrough, we're going to be looking for health and safety issues, things of concern that will be required to bring this home up to HUD's minimum property standards. Now, we get asked all the time, what is a minimum property standard? What are they? Well, you can go on the HUD list if you want to know what they are. If you can't find where the minimum property standards are, send me an email. I'll find them for you and send you the link. HUD has been real good about, for the last 10 or 12 years, of not changing their location of everything like they did in the early years, 1995 to 98. HUD was constantly changing where to find things, which gave them more hits on their website. I challenged them at a major meeting, and they stopped doing it after that. And I was so glad, because if you put a link on your website to make it easier to find it for someone else, tomorrow it's not there. Every week they were changing it. But I must say that they've corrected that. They don't do that anymore. And I'm very happy with that. So the second part there is on the consultant agreement is to look at the walkthrough. What are we going to do? We're walking through. We're looking at health and safety issues, of necessity issues, things that must be required because they don't look or appear that they will last the term of the mortgage in the current condition. Now, we don't know how they're going to care for it next year or the year after that, but right now this has to have the appearance of lasting 30 years. That's the typical mortgage. Okay, so we're looking for those things. The next item is inspections. These are all on the consultant agreement, by the way. But inspections paragraph says the consultant will incorporate any and all inspections performed on the property prior to closing. That includes engineering, mechanical, termite, home inspections, any red tags or building inspections that flag this property for not being able to live in it, for livability. It's very important for the borrower to understand. Now, they may not have all those reports in their hands, but we need them to finish our report. Now, our report typically takes anywhere from a day to 4 days, 5 days sometimes, to finish our bid. And that's really fast in the scheme of things. If you're trying to get this loan closed in 30 to 45 days, you need that initial bid initially to see, is this thing really viable? Is this going to work? You know, we thought there was $100,000 worth of work here, and Mike's bid is $99,000, so we're right in the ballpark. Or $95,000 or $105,000, but it's still in the ballpark. And that's what we needed to know, and now it goes out to bid. The lender can actually close the loan with our bid once they have the confidence that we can bid properly. I'm so glad to announce several new members to our team this week. One in Alabama, another one in New York, that are licensed contractors, and a third one in Ohio. They're licensed contractors. They know how to bid, because I hear so many of the new people telling the homeowner, well, when you get a bid, call me and I'll come out and do my inspection. That is not a consultant. If that's happening on your watch, in your business, you need to straighten that act up, find a consultant that can bid the job ahead of time. Now, if the borrowers don't provide you with that information, are you then responsible for the things that showed up in the reports they didn't give you? Of course not. Would it be gross negligence if you didn't fix something that was in another body's report that the homeowner had prior to close? I think I'd be asking that. Back in 1994 or 95, I had just that experience. They had gotten an engineer's report because the house was sitting in a hole. There was high ground on all four sides. So in the case of rain, water would come down toward the house. So one thing I was concerned and found was that it had a French drain all the way around it and a way to get that water back up out of that hole. Oh, my goodness. Today is just having so much fun. And we're going to finish this up next week. So keep that in mind. We'll actually start on the agreement duration when we get back. But it's most important that you can get that engineer's report ahead of time. This young man didn't get it to us, didn't show it to us. We ended up going to court. And in the court, I showed the judge the photographs I took of the existing one. And I challenged that the engineer that wrote that report had never came to the house, or he would have seen the sump pump already existed. And, of course, we won our fourth or fifth lawsuit. Anyway, they all happened in 1994, so that had to be in 94. But thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll go over the rest of these forms next time. Until then, have a great week.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.